going back to the text that was just read for you, it reads to us once again in verse 7. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. A mother gave her little girl a quarter and a dollar before church. And so the mother gave the daughter some instructions. Put whichever you want into the collection plate and keep the other for yourself. When they were coming out of church, the mother asked her daughter which amount she had given. And the little girl said, "Well, I was going to give the dollar. But just before the collection, the man in the pulpit said that we should be cheerful givers. I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter, so I did." Does that sound familiar to many of us in church? Truly, this is not the first time we have heard that saying, our biblical saying before, that we ought to be a cheerful giver. But how we enact that depends on the particular person that we are speaking to at that particular moment. But in the midst of everything that we have to do, all of our obligations, all the things that we need to pay for, all the things that we have been given the responsibility of being good stewards over, how is it today that we can be a cheerful giver? We find out in this text that Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. And they say this is 2 Corinthians, but he had written to them many, many times. Because out of all the churches that Paul had founded, it seems like the Corinthians were giving him the most trouble. It seems like they were confused, y'all, about what thus says the Lord. He wrote to them over and over again about how you're supposed to share meals at the table, talked about sexual immorality, talked about love and many, many other things. But Paul had visited them before, and we find out that he had visited them again. But they were not taken to his teachings. The church there in Corinth had been under the supervision of some false teachers, some false prophets, who would tell them what not what thus says the Lord, but what they wanted to hear. And then they would start blaming Paul because Paul was getting on them for what they had not been doing. Paul was having a hard time with these in Corinth. But Paul, although they were giving him a difficult time, and it was a painful lever, and he didn't want to go back in their presence again because of the discord of the church in him, he still lets them know that they have an obligation to support the church. And now he is telling them about they need to support the church at Jerusalem and the ministry at Jerusalem, as all his churches have done. As Paul went around, he had taken a collection for the church in Jerusalem, that the church may continue to be sustained and grow in the situation which they found themselves. But Paul does something that we often do, because when we're not doing something, he tells you about somebody who is doing something. And so he had told them about how the Macedonian churches were faithful, how they were giving of their time and their talent, and how they were freely supporting the work of God. See, Paul was kind of talking about them, although they didn't necessarily know what was being said. And he is encouraging them for their support, that y'all need to get it together, that y'all need to learn how to freely give instead of having the discord that you have within your particular context. But Paul tells them a few things that was helpful to them that should be helpful for us as we go into this stewardship series and talking about giving. He tells them that you have to give as you have made up your mind. And I am fully convinced there are two types of people in the world who you have money. There are those who want to give, and there are those who don't want to give. And in either case, you got to pull that money out of them. Now, there are cases of people who will freely give, and they truly understand what God has done for them, and they respond in kind. I would say that's probably 10-20% of the people. Now, the other percent of the people, you got to just take it out of them. You have to convince them that their money and their talent and their time It's worth giving to the church. Now, let me back up a little bit. Not only do you have to figure that out, but you know, in any human organization, people are not going to be happy about what's going on. So not only are you trying just to get them to give the money, you're trying to also help them overcome their objections to giving the money. And we've heard in churches before, have we not? Oh, this church, they have enough money. Or I don't have to give because I know such and such is going to give. Or I don't have to give because I'm mad at somebody in the church. Or I'm not going to give because I don't like what's happening at the church. And then you go and tell your friends everything that's happening at the church that you don't like. And then you wonder why people not coming to your church. Paul encourages them that they have to make up their mind. See, in order for us to be a cheerful giver, you have to want to be a cheerful giver. And not only that, you have to remember what God has done for you first. See, because if you don't know what God has done for you, you can't be a cheerful giver. So let me remind you what God has done for you. God knew you before you came out of the womb. God protected you from everything that you've been through. And many of us in here, we can testify what God, how God has walked with us in everything we've been through. How God has rescued some of us in here from homelessness. How God has delivered us from trouble. How God has given us a balm in the time of disappointment. How God has allowed us from where we are in our poor circumstances, that God has given us just a little something to glorify God with. But the saddest thing that we do as people of God is we try to hoard everything that God has given us. We see examples in life, but we also see it within the Bible. I mean, for an example, in Exodus, God truly told the Israelites, take enough manna for this day. And sure enough, as God has told them what they need to do, they took more than what was supposed to be taken. In the morning, they found that everything that they had was messed up. See, people, we have a hard time being obedient. And we have a hard time being cheerful. We have a hard time being a cheerful giver. But also, let's face it. Sometimes it's just hard for us to part with what we have. We just truly don't like it. A preacher one time asked a farmer of his congregation, if you had 100 cows, would you give 50 of them to the Lord? And the guy said yes. So the pastor asked him, if you had 1,000 chickens, would you give 500? And so the farmer said yes. And so then the preacher asked him, if you had 2 hogs, would you give 1? And he said, not fair, preacher, you know I have 2 hogs. We give what we have. And then we don't think we have, we won't give it. But we remember a God who gave everything for us. Now God made a sacrifice for us to be here today. God has done everything for us. And then we're trying to hold on to what we have. And you know what? If you know what happens when you hold on to what you have, more than often you're going to lose it. Brothers and sisters, God calls us to have a mind to follow God. That sometimes in our lives, and some of you in here can testify, you've given everything. Sometimes you've lost it, but I'd be willing to bet if you gave it for Christ, Christ gave you more than what you gave in the first place. Brothers and sisters, we find out today that if we are called to be a generous giver, you have to make up your mind. You have to understand what God has done for you. And not only do you have to understand what God has done for you, more often you have to understand that what God can do for us as a community. Because when we talk about giving, we only talk about ourselves. But what we give is not of our own. It is God's first. And once we give it, it is not just for our benefit. It's for the benefit of everybody who is gathered here today. So often we live in a world today which tells us we get to do what we want to do. But that's not necessarily the case, brothers and sisters. We do what God leads us to do by the example of his son, Jesus Christ, who has walked with us no matter where we've been. So we have to have a mind to follow God. Because if you follow God and know what God has done, then you're able to be a cheerful giver. You're able to understand the sacrifice that God has paid for us. You're able to understand that everything that we have and everything that we own is not ours. It was God's in the first place. And we're just being a good steward over what God has given us. And yet the text tells us, if we're able to understand and make up our mind, not to give under compulsion, but to give cheerfully, We understand that God provides blessings in abundance. You see, God is in the blessing business. God, all throughout the text from Genesis to Revelation and even unto now, God has blessed you. You know, the one thing that we do is we go around and talk about what we don't have as opposed to what we do have. We talk about, I don't have no money. I don't have this job. I can't pay my bill. I can't do this. I can't do that. The first thing that we do when an idea is positive to us, we talk about what we can't do instead of what we can do. It seems like the negative always outweighs the positive. But do you know what type of God that you serve in here today? Do you know what God has done for you? Do you know what the choir says, how God has brought you out? How God has lifted you up? If you know that, how can we say, or how can we lead off with, we can't do it? You can do it. You can do all things in Christ who strengthens you. You can do all the things that God has allowed you to do. You see, God is in the blessing business, and we spend so much time on the negative that we forget about the blessings that God has provided for us. You talk to somebody today, how you doing? I'm doing all right. And then people want to complain about their problems. Then you let them know, did you know that the Lord woke you up today? Yes. Did you know the Lord gave you, hopefully you in your right mind? Yes. Do you know that the Lord gave you some clothing and food? Yes. That God has given you shelter? That you have a job? That you have a car? That you have people who love you, although you don't think that is the case? You see, brothers and sisters, one of the reasons why we don't give back to God and back to God's people is we doubt what God can do. You see, in order for us to be truly a giver, a generous giver, it's all about trust. You have to be able to trust God. And how can we say no when God has trusted you all this time? God has walked with you. And let's face it, none of us in here are angels. We've done some things that we are ashamed of, but that God still has provided God's mercy and grace unto us, and God has still walked with us. Can you imagine if God was a vengeful God, all the time a vengeful God? Who would be here? Who would testify to God's name? None of us. None of us. It is God's graciousness and mercy. And not only do we doubt what God can do, that frames our whole mindset. It is nothing worse than telling somebody they can't do something when we know they have the potential to do so. Now, I'm not telling you everybody just take out your checks and write, but what I am telling you today is that maybe doubt is not the first thing that should be on our minds. Maybe it's to remember the blessings and the goodness of what God has done for us. And remember that God can take a little and make a lot. We see it in the text, and in Luke 21, talking about the widow's mite, how the widow came, and everybody was happy about the rich man who gave a portion of what he had. But with the woman who came and dropped in that one penny, and the Lord said, she has given more than enough. See, we always talk about that. And I want to give you a story. Many of you may remember, African-American woman, in 1995, the whole nation was stunned when the news broke that an elderly woman named Osceola McCarthy had donated $150,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi for their scholarship fund. Now, this woman at the time was 87 years old, and she had been a domestic worker in Mississippi all of her life. And if you ever have the opportunity, I would let you know, you need to Google her story, how she was conceived because of a rape there in rural Mississippi. And how she started saving from a young child, how she used to put money in a doll that she had. And how she talked about she had a spirit of giving when she was a young child. And how, now keep it in mind, now this is a housekeeper. An African-American woman in Mississippi saved $150,000 and gave it back to a school that would not even accepted her when she was able to go. She was a woman who was forced to drop out of school in the sixth grade to care for her family. And for more than 60 years, she had made a living washing clothes for hire in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, and saving as much she could from her meager pay. She wanted others to have the opportunity for the education she had never received. So she gave the money away that she had saved for so many years. We think that giving, we have to give everything. But all you have to do, brothers and sisters, is discern what God is calling you to do and give what you can. Give what the Lord has given to you, because if you're able just to do a little bit, God can bless that little bit into a lot. You see, brothers and sisters, as we are gathered here today, we are called to understand that this God that we serve is good, that we serve, this God that we serve is gracious, that the God that we serve today is merciful. And if we're able to give out of our generosity, if we're able to give not under compulsion and not, I guess I got to give today. We give reluctantly, but if we're able to understand what God has done for you, you can't do nothing but give cheerfully. You can't understand what God has done for you if you're not cheerful, and you'll have an outlook on life knowing that, not, again, that it doesn't benefit you, it benefits others. And the text tells us that we'll be enriched greatly for our great generosity. That means that God will add into our lives, that God will continue to walk with us, that God will continue to guide us. And sure, we may not be the richest people in the world, but it doesn't take the richest people to make things happen. It takes the Spirit of God and giving it in a right manner. And that is what we're able to do if we're able to follow what God has for us. And God never fails. God today never fails. You may fail. Other people may fail. But God never fails, brothers and sisters. Because God's plan for our lives, not only individually but collectively, will come to pass. You know, people just say, I'm not going to give to the church because I'm mad. I don't like what's going on. I tell them, well, don't give. Because I know what the Lord can do. Now, you know, you think it's not your money anyway. It's the Lord's money. And all I got to do is keep on being faithful, because all we have to do, brothers and sisters, is keep on being faithful. If you keep on being faithful, you'll see some hard times. You'll see some difficulties. You will doubt, but I can let you know what? God never fails. God is always on the throne. God always makes a way out of no way. God is still in the blessing business, brothers and sisters. So as we talk about generous giving today, I remind you once again, each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Remember what God has done for you, and give out of the mercy of your heart, whether it's just a small bit or whether it's a big bit. But know that whatever you give, God uses it to glorify God's kingdom. God uses God's money to upbuild God's kingdom. This day and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Our invitational hymn is number 357. O Master, let me walk with thee. And now the doors of the church are open. Maybe there are some of you who want to give your life to Christ for the very first time. Maybe there are some of you who want to recommit your life to Christ. Maybe there are some of you who want to join us, or maybe there are some of you that we need to pray for, that you are not in a giving spirit and you're not a cheerful giver, that we can pray for you, that the Lord may continue to show you what God has done for you, that you may be generous in all areas of your lives. If you are one of those persons, we ask you may come to the front as we all stand and sing our invitation hymn.